I Want It All and I Want It Now. Written by Janie Tangerine. Read by Opal Song. Fandom, A Song of Ice and Fire. Rating, explicit. Relationship, Jaime Lannister, Brienne of Tarth. Also tagged for post A Dance with Dragons. Explicit sexual content. Plot what plot? Porn without plot. Loss of virginity. Wall sex. Hand jobs. Hand and finger kink. Woman on top. Communication failure. At the beginning. Fantasy fulfillment. Bottom Jaime Lannister. Brienne of Tarth might be a virgin, but is not clueless. Brienne of Tarth might be innocent, but not in that sense. Brienne's wanted to hit that since A Storm of Swords, and you can't convince me otherwise. This podfic was created for Annalise 010 for ITPE 2019. That Jaime is currently trying not to fall prey to a part of him whispering, "You'll fuck it up." Except that he is. It's not that he doesn't want to do this. Oh no, he does. If he has to be honest with himself, he's wanted to since Harrenhal, even if he hadn't realized it then. When she was naked in front of him and his body most likely knew better than he did, or before he did. But as she closes the door of the room in Winterfell that Sansa and Jon Snow granted them after they escorted her and the Vale army just in time to help him make it back to their ancestral home, he can't help thinking, what if I do this wrong? It's just, they kissed for the first time a few days ago, after she killed what was left of Catelyn Stark to save him. After he finally got her out of that, she had been about to get hanged rather than kill him, and he had thought, who else in this wretched world ever would have died for the likes of me? And then he found the guts to go for it, because at that point he had realized what he wanted, or better, who he wanted. They've slept together since then, but haven't done anything else past that. And he honestly had figured that she wanted to stay a maiden, and he hadn't pressed for anything more. That is, until a few days ago when she had asked if he maybe didn't want her like that, and he realized that she hadn't asked in the first place because she thought he might find her displeasing under that armor, and that wouldn't do. So he had smiled and said, "Wench, I would do that now, but I should like to think that at least you should lose your maidenhead in a proper bed." And she had blushed, and they had agreed on finding a proper bed for it. Now they have one, and he wants her so much he could burst with it. But gods, she's a maiden, and she's just, he doesn't know what she's expecting. He doesn't know how to approach this, because certainly the only other time he took someone's maidenhead, she was also taking his own, and it hadn't been slow or considerate or anything except a blur of passion, and it's not the same thing. And gods, he's happy it's not, because he doesn't think he wants that anymore. Maybe until he thought he and Cersei were really the same, until he thought he would always want what she wanted because that was just how things were. But not now. Now he wants to take his time. He wants a proper bed indeed. He wants to wake up next to her. He wants to avoid thinking, and what if someone finds us all the time? And gods, she probably wants this to be sweet and long, wouldn't she? After all, isn't that how maidens always seem to like it in songs? Lying down and being pleasured for hours? Jamie has no idea if he even knows how to do that. With Cersei, it was always fast, and he was always worrying about someone finding them out. And the few times they could indulge in it, it never was slow or song-like, he guessed. Gods, he cannot believe that at the ripe age of 34, he goes around telling Peck to use sweet words and gentle touches on his woman and treat her as he would his bride, when he never had the chance to do it himself. And then he gets rid of his golden hand. Now, that would be a hindrance. Kicks off his boots distractedly and... Jamie? He turns to look at Brienne. Yes? He asks. And then the words die in his throat when he sees she's already naked. Same as she was in Harrenhal. Her clothes are neatly piled on a chair near the fire. And she had taken off her armor before, so now she's standing with nothing hiding her flat-toned stomach from his sight. Nor the freckles on her arms or just over her breasts. Nor her large shoulders. Nor the blonde hair over her crotch. He can feel his cock stirring in his breeches. And thankfully, now he's hardly surprised that it would happen when seeing Brienne naked. He shakes his head and walks over the furs covering the ground until he reaches her, taking in her skin, her muscles, the scars she has on her shoulders, and... Gods, he wants to do right by her. He really does. But he doesn't want to get it wrong. He can't. She deserves way better than him doing wrong by her. Or, admittedly, she deserves way better than him, but never mind that. His eyes meet hers, so wide, of that astonishing color. So blue he could fucking drown in it. Are you sure about this? She asks, sounding worried. Of course I am, he immediately says, even if his hand is stuck at his side because he's running through everything he might do, but all the options seem too rough or too coarse or, well, unworthy. She's never done this. He doesn't even know how much she knows about how it's supposed to go, and... Then, you know, she prompts. What I mean is, you can go ahead if you want. I do, he says immediately. Because he does. Fuck if he does. Maybe he should just drop to his knees. That might work. But would it be too abrupt? Or does she want... Well, I told you I did as well, she says. And she's blushing hard. But when he looks up at her, the stare doesn't waver. Right. Then she's obviously expecting something. Thing is, what? It's just, I don't know how to put it, but... If you want, I can put the shirt back. She starts sounding resigned, but he immediately grabs her arm with his left hand, shaking his head. No, he says. Hells, of course not. I could look at you wearing nothing for a year, but it's just... If this is the first time you do it, I don't want to... It's not like I ever did this with someone who wasn't, well, Cersei, and I knew that she knew what to expect, I guess, and I never really thought about, and I doubt it's the same for you, fuck. He's fairly sure he's not making any sense, but apparently he did to Brienne, because a moment later her eyes go wide and she stares at him and she breaks down laughing? Wench, what... He starts, but never finishes, because she keeps on laughing. Harder. Then shakes her head, wipes at her eyes, and sits on the bed, taking a deep breath. That was the problem? That you think I don't know what to expect? She finally wheezes. Excuse me if I was worrying about not being an arse here, he snaps. But then she shakes her head again. Jamie, that's remarkably sweet of you. But how long do you think I stayed in Renly's camp before, well, before I didn't anymore? He thinks about it. Well, months, I guess, given how long I was a prisoner, but how many women that weren't camp followers do you think lived there? Brienne presses. And then he immediately realizes where she's aiming at. Wait, you mean that? While I do realize, she says, still blushing, though not as hard as before, that, men might have ideas about what maidens know about. Well, this. I spent months sharing tents with other men, soldiers even, and gods, I cannot believe I am saying this, but when you take off those breeches, well, believe me, you will be the first man I lie with, but you would hardly be the first man I see naked. Her skin flushes harder. Actually, I couldn't tell you how many others I did see naked. How did he not even think about that? All right, fine, you wouldn't know just by looking at her and her eyes and at how she discusses oaths and honor and integrity and not more crass matters, but he knew that she spent months surrounded by other soldiers, and he assumed, oh, hells. Now he has to laugh as well while he drops sitting down next to her, feeling somehow relieved. Fine, he wheezes. I was an idiot. No, she says. That was remarkably thoughtful, but wholly unnecessary. I doubt whatever you're thinking would be too much. Was I even that transparent? He unlaces his shirt. At least he can do that with one hand only. Whatever I'm thinking? Well, you are worrying about something, and gods, I... She stops, shaking her head, looks straight at him. I will say this just once. Her blue eyes look darker in the firelight, but she also looks, with those flushed cheeks and parted lips, and her tongue wetting one corner before retreating back inside her mouth, her entire body naked. No, she's hardly the picture of innocence right now. At least not the way people would take most noble maidens to be. All right. I never presumed you would ever want me like this, but I've dreamed that you might since Harrenhal, I think. You, since then? Well, I only realized it fully after you came back for me, but that's not the point. I've been wanting this since then, so whatever it is that worries you, well, most likely you don't need to waste time with it. Oh. He swallows, getting rid of the shirt, and he's thankful she doesn't attempt to help him out of it when he didn't ask first. Shit. He really was going at this all wrong, wasn't he? And now that he thinks about it, it really feels like he was worrying for nothing. For that matter, she blurts after he's thrown his shirt to the side. If you're worrying about what to do, I doubt you could make me feel uncomfortable with anything. She breathes in, her hand covering his right wrist, and he holds his breath as she looks straight at him again. I don't know how to put it properly, but... Wench, did you forget who you're about to give your maidenhead to, unless you changed your mind? Because I don't think I am the most proper man around here. Fair. She smiles, and now she's looking at him fondly. And he wishes he knew what he did right to have her look at him like that. But he'll have to think about it one day. Not now. Well, Jamie, men talk. Do you think that while living in a military camp, I heard nothing? Oh. He thinks he is flushing now because, well, thing is, he was in the Kingsguard. But surely his fellow white cloaks did not discuss that, not with the chastity vow they had technically sworn. And then, well, he's been around armies, sure, mostly during the Greyjoy Rebellion, and in his stint in the Riverlands, But during the rebellion, he was around Robert most of the time because that was his job, wasn't it? And in the Riverlands, he's stuck to talking to Ilyn Payne. He didn't exactly mingle. Gods, she most likely heard more talk between soldiers than he ever did, for that matter. I suppose not, he says. I did. Quite a lot of things, she blurts. And gods, I don't think just about my vows all the time, you know? He lets that sink in, then realizes his heartbeat has sped up. A lot. And may I be so bold to ask what my lady does think about then? Her other hand tentatively reaches out, her fingers brushing against his chest. About quite a lot of things, she says, her hand slipping down towards the laces on his breeches. He gives her a terse nod before she opens them. He stands up, letting them fall down, and he can see her eyes widen as she finally sees him naked. Not that she hadn't before, but now it's different, isn't it? Except that she's staring at him with something that might seem like hunger, even if she's obviously holding back. She certainly doesn't look like she's worried he will do something she won't like. And what if I wish to know about this lot of things? He says. She stands up, moving in front of him. Their bare feet are on the furs covering the floor. The fire is still going strong. Well, the men in that camp, they barely paid attention to me when they didn't want to. They spoke freely. Did they? Jamie says, as her hands tentatively touch his hips, and his left cups her breast. Slow. They did. Most of them were fairly, how to put it, crass, and they spoke of how much they enjoyed taking women, quite roughly. Most of them did brag about it quite a lot, some even about taking them from behind, or so they like to say. She doesn't sound too impressed with most of it. But some were less crass, I suppose. They did talk about what they wanted from the act, I guess. She's blushing, even harder now, but she's holding his stare and he's holding his breath. And you thought about experiencing that? Not exactly, she says, sounding frustrated. I'm not too sure. Brienne, for until a moment ago, I was worrying about whether you'd think I was being too forward. How about you put both of us out of our misery and just say it? Honestly, you're talking to me. I doubt I have much ground to judge whatever it is you want. She stares at him. And then it's like a dam breaking open. What I want? She snorts. Very well, Jamie. I spent months listening to people discussing either the quickest way to find pleasure in a woman or talking about how much they liked it when their women sucked them off for a long time. Let's leave it at that. Or how much they liked it when they'd touch them all over. And then they'd also discuss taking them while standing. And as things are, I might have thought about it more than once, enough times. But when I did, I wasn't the one, well, lying back and taking it. Jamie's throat goes dry at once. You mean that? You said you dreamed of me, didn't you? Well, I might have dreamed of doing something they said they liked to you more than once. And since I remembered which one of them was talking about how great it was one time when he ravished a serving wench against a wall of his inn room, and she was wetter than the trident when he manhandled her around, or so he bragged, and I thought about doing that with you, except I would be the one holding you up against the wall. Gods, and I know this is really improper and unbecoming, and it probably shows that I'm not... I mean, I know ladies aren't really supposed to have such thoughts, but then again, I guess I couldn't be one even when it comes to this, so now you know. And yes, I did think about it even if I haven't, well, done anything. Gods, this is so embarrassing. It's not, he says at once. And she looks back up at him. And she probably notices that he's most likely flushing. And when she glances down at his crotch, she can see that he got harder just hearing her talk, but the moment he pictured it, his blood went straight under his waist, and he had no idea that she thought about it, and apparently in detail, but the idea that she might have wanted him that much makes him shiver in the good way. And if he was doubting before about what he could do, now he has a feeling that anything would be welcomed. That's not the point, though. The point is that she does have more than an inkling on how this goes, and he can't believe he actually thought she wouldn't now that she said it, but humor me, he says. Yes? Tell me exactly what you meant with holding me up against the wall. Jamie, no, he says. I really want to know that. She swallows, shivering for a moment, before her hand closes around his maimed wrist again. I'd kiss you first. I would take my time with it. I mean, at least we've done that enough times now that I wouldn't feel inadequate. You were never inadequate, he protests. That's not the point. I would run my hands all over your back, she says, her voice dropping to a whisper. I would have one around your neck while we kissed, maybe in your hair. I'd tug it, but slow. I wouldn't want it to be fast. I would want to feel you against me. Then I would use my hand on you, she goes on, sounding slightly less embarrassed now. Slightly. As far as Jamie is concerned, he's entirely fine with that prospect. If you finished, I would do it again. Then I would put my hands under your thighs and, well, put you up against the wall. And I would have you in me, but slowly. I wouldn't want to rush it. I know I could handle it. We would kiss while I do it. I want you to finish inside me, she blurts, still blushing the color of ripe strawberries. Gods, I know this is absolutely inappropriate. I'm sorry. Do it, he says. What? She exclaims, obviously not having expected it. Do it, he says, throat feeling completely dry while his cock is everything but. Hells, he's not touching himself just out of self-control, but he's so hard he would come in a minute if he did. But just listening to her describe it is making his head spin, and he had no idea she was thinking that. But he thinks he likes it. And so what if he doesn't take her maiden head, but she lets him take it? Gods, just the thought is about to make him harder. He has no idea he wanted it, but now that she's describing it, it sounds so alluring. He wants it. Hell, he wants it as much as he wants her, or about so. And he moans inside her mouth when she tentatively presses her lips to his again. She has learned since they started doing this, and she's true to her word. She doesn't move her mouth from his for a while, just as her hands start running all over his back, her rough skin pressing circles inside it before moving upwards, and then down, trailing all over his spine until they reach his hair. Brienne grasps a few locks, gently tugging it as they keep on kissing, and the fact that she's doing it hard enough to make him feel it, but not enough to actually hurt, is making it even better. This, while her other hand is still trailing along his spine, and she kisses him like she's hungry for it. And maybe she was if she thought about this for as long as she said. Yeah, well, it's probably not even surprising that the moment she starts jerking him off, her rough fingertips wrapping tentatively at first around his cock, but then stroking him much more surely after she finds her rhythm, he comes so embarrassingly fast that he would have felt ashamed of it if she hadn't said before that she might have wanted that. Hells, he says, as relief washes through him, because he was so hard it hurt by then. And as he looks up at her, that wasn't too unbecoming of me, now was it? Her cheeks are still flushed as she shakes her head. All the contrary, she says. I mean, if it means I'm not bad at it, right? The suggestion is so ludicrous he would laugh, If he wasn't still too distracted by how good it felt, however brief. Do not even jape about that, wench. I have a feeling you're everything but. Oh, so you need more proof? She sounds a bit relieved now, and he stares back up at her. I don't recall that your plan stopped here now, or did it? She swallows, shaking her head, looks down at his spent cock, with the face of someone very determined to bring it back to life. I did not, she agrees, and then her hand is on him again as she experimentally starts to jerk him off again. But this time she doesn't just go ahead and do it. She runs her thumb along the head, slow, finding the slit as he pushes up against her hand. And hells, he doesn't know if he's more turned on by the fact that she's never done it to someone else, but she definitely knows what she's doing, or by the fact that her ideal plan to lose her maidenhead is this. But then he's too busy moaning her name while she moves her other hand behind his cock, brushing her fingers over his balls very gently, but pressing enough that for a moment he feels like arching off the bed. She stops for a moment, and he's fairly sure she said under her breath something along the lines of, so it did work. And then she's doing it again, and hells, he's not 5'10" anymore. He wishes, but that can't happen, can it? But she apparently doesn't mind waiting. And he barely even needs to tell her to move her fingers harder or faster or slower, because she's looking down and up and obviously noticing what is working and what's not. And shit, it's not as if he remembers Cersei ever doing that, because it really wasn't about him, not in that sense. And if he thinks about what Brienne said she wanted to do after, are you sure about the rest? She asks, when he's definitely hard again, her palms slick with pre-cum. I mean, we can do it like this. Brienne, if you don't do it, I think I would be very disappointed, he manages to say, as he feels like he won't have breath for very much longer. If that's how it is, she says then, and suddenly her hands are not on him anymore, but she stood up and moved in front of him, and I think you might want to grab my shoulders. He does, with his left arm, while he moves the right over her neck for what he can manage. And she doesn't even blink when his stump touches her nape. Before he can say anything about it, though, her hands reach out under his thighs and lift him up in one motion. Not too fast, and he can't help thinking that her grip is gentle. Very gentle. Same as it was at Harrenhal. But before he can think too much about that either, she's turned and pushed him up against the wall, and hells, she really doesn't seem to be bothered about it or like it's much of an effort. And all right, he hadn't known he wanted this, but now that she's doing it, he doesn't know how he'd never thought about it before. She presses him up against the wall a bit more, then clears her throat. I think the point was that I should lose my maidenhead now, wasn't it? She asks. And he doesn't know how she actually manages to sound both blunt and sincere as she's holding him up as if he weighs nothing. But when he realizes she's not dropping him anytime soon, he nods and moves his left from her back to her cunt. She's standing with her legs opened so he can reach it easily enough, and gods, she's wet, he realizes. So wet that when he tries to slide a finger in, he barely meets any resistance. Oh, she says, as he pushes it further in. It's better if it's you. What? He moans. Did you do it yourself before? Of course I did, she sighs, sounding like she can't even believe he asked. If all the men I have been around could do it, surely I could as well. Hells, he needs to get a grip. He slides a second finger in. And what did you think about when you did it? He doesn't know if he should have asked, but in the beginning, a lot of things, she says, as she grabs his thighs harder while he curls his fingers inside of her and she clenches around them. Since Harrenhal, just about you. A few times it started without you. It always ended with you, she says, and now she sounds maybe slightly shy. But just the idea that she has touched herself while thinking about him, and most likely not something quick and dirty, given the way she talks about it, is... fuck. Fuck. He has to hold back, because if now he comes without her even touching him, that would definitely convince her she's good at this. But that wasn't the entire point now, was it? Hells, he groans, sliding his fingers in and out again. I'm not. I need. Do it, she says. Please do it. She moves closer so that she's lining up with him, and he takes a very, very deep breath before reaching down and lining his cock up with her cunt while her grip gives out just a bit so it's easier. And then she nods and he slides in, and fuck, she's warm and wet. And while her arms are trembling slightly, she certainly hasn't let him fall good. Now he's buried inside her and she's breathing hard, getting adjusted. But from her flushed cheeks and wide open blue eyes, he thinks she's not hating it. Then she nods, lifts him up again, even if he's barely holding onto her, moves back to the bed without breaking the contact. And she doesn't even drop him unceremoniously. She does it slow, just before she moves completely on top of him as he lies down. Maybe, like, this, it'd be easier, she says, almost sheepish. But then she rolls her hips experimentally upward, and then down, and he's fairly sure people might have heard him downstairs for how loud he moaned, but he doesn't care. Not as she does it again and again, her eyes blown in pleasure. The next time she does it, he thrusts upward experimentally, just as she moves down, and the sound that leaves her mouth is downright filthy, and he doesn't even know what they're doing anymore, but he doesn't mind any of it. Closer, she blurts, and he moves his left hand behind her shoulders again, and hells, now she's riding him slower as they kiss. When it breaks, one of her hands stays at the back of his head, and another moves down to his right wrist, holding it against her hip, and at that point he buries his head in the middle of her chest. Her breasts might not be large or pillowy, but the right one is soft against his cheek as he nuzzles against it, and the hand at the back of his head pushes as his mouth trails along the side while she keeps on riding him. And at this point he's close. He's really close, and he can feel that she's clenching around him tighter, until she moves his right wrist upwards. Wait, what? The moment she turns her head and runs her tongue along the scar right in the middle of his stump, he can't hold it back anymore. He screams her name as he spills inside her. And maybe he should have pulled out, but her thighs are keeping him right where he is, and she's making no motion to change the situation. And he hears her moan his name as she clenches down on him again, her lips kissing his wrist before she lets it drop, and she peeks as well, her head leaning down to find his mouth as she rides him through the aftershocks. And he doesn't even remember how he was expecting this to go when they started, but what just happened is wildly beyond it. And he lets her hold him close as she keeps on riding him as she comes. And it's not fast. It takes longer than it did for him. And by the time she's taking deep breaths and her grip has gone slacker, they're still holding on to each other, and he feels as if he just walked out of a 2-hour-long battle, except that it's better, because his muscles hurt in all the best ways. And hers more than his, probably. And he can barely even feel it. Not when there isn't a single part of him that's not thrumming in pleasure. I, he declares as soon as he regains his breath, will never presume any maiden's innocence on these matters in my entire life, even if I should hope I wouldn't need to in the first place. She laughs as she gets off of him, but she doesn't move on the other side of the bed, nor stops holding on to him as she does. Maybe it would be a good idea, Brienne agrees, and now she's flushed for wildly different reasons. But she also looks radiant, and her eyes are still that same lovely blue, but when they met, he'd have never thought she could pull off a teasing glance convincingly, but she is. And the best thing is, she doesn't look done. Especially because, that was not the only thing I had imagined. He raises his eyebrows. Oh, there's more now? Sir, she says, tentatively matching his grin. Some of us, former maidens, don't only think about oaths or honor or chastity vows. And some of us, while assuming we might stay maidens for a long time, or assuming it would never be, well, pleasurable, have had years to come up with possible alternatives. He looks down at the bloody cheats and at the cum streaking both her thighs and stomach and his own, and he decides that he likes this side of her very, very much. "My lady," he quips back, "while I am more than amenable to hear you out, I think that it might take me a while before I am ready again. Still," he says, lying back down fully and glancing at her cunt, "I think I should like not to waste our time." She flushes so red it would be endearing if he hadn't just seen her riding him until he was completely spent. "And what if," she says, straddling him, "I might have thought about you, she starts, shaking her head. "Let me guess, putting my mouth on your cunt until you can only think about how that feels?" She swallows. "What if I did?" "I'm not moving, am I?" She smiles tentatively, straddling him all over again. "Very well," she says. "But after you're done, I want to do the same to you. I might have thought about that, too." Jamie's spent cock twitches in interest, just thinking about Brienne doing it. Moving back down on the bed, wrapping her mouth around it. She has soft lips, and she can use her tongue. He knows that by now. And the idea that she thought about sucking him off, for he doesn't know how long, is turning his blood hot all over again. "I say," he grins, "that's a vow I can absolutely bear for you to uphold." He waits until her grin matches his. And then, the moment she's lined up to him, he buries his head against her cunt, his tongue meeting the warm, wet softness of it, taking his time before he lets it slide inside. And then he feels her fingers gently carting through his hair and petting his neck and his back as she moans softly and says it feels amazing, and he grins. It seems like he did get his soft words and gentle touches one way or another. And he thinks he's very, very glad that she's nowhere near done for today, because neither is he, and he is going to take full advantage of it. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!